Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from our Minnesota National Guard troops in Afghanistan, and we'll learn about the upcoming push for veterans-friendly legislation. But before we get started, let's take a moment to remember one of Minnesota's fallen. A 2012 graduate of Waseca High School, Caleb Erickson, was a wrestler and a starter on the football team. His grandfather had served in World War II, and Caleb followed in his footsteps, joining the Marines. Lance Corporal Caleb Erickson was killed February 28th in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, by an improvised explosive device. He leaves behind his mother, father, sister, and many, many friends. He will be missed, but never forgotten. And now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 40 years ago, the United States and Norway initiated a troop exchange program with a simple handshake between two generals, one American and one Norwegian. The exchange began in 1974 and is the longest-running military exchange partnership between any two nations. Normally in February, about 100 Norwegian soldiers and 100 Minnesota Army and Air National Guard members exchange places. Part of their training in both countries include winter field exercises, complete with cross-country skiing, and winter warfighting skills and survival training. This year is different. The yearly exchange that promotes goodwill and sharpens military readiness between our nations will take place in June. Summer training. It will be the first of its kind for our partnership. Plans are well underway for the Norwegian soldiers when they arrive in 5 months. They will visit and train at Camp Ripley. They will tour the Air National Guard base in Duluth and spend a day in St. Paul touring the state capitol and the Veterans Service Building. The Norwegians will also stay with Minnesota families and get the opportunity to experience some of our local culture. This is a unique experience. It's more than training. It's a cultural exchange, and we're excited about what the future 40 years of the United States and Norwegian troop exchange has in store.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now from Afghanistan are members of Minnesota National Guard's 114th Transportation Company out of Chisholm, Minnesota, who deployed in October of 2013 Afghanistan, and we have the commander of the 114th Transportation Company, Captain Ryan Kessler, and his First Sergeant, Troy Deans, joining us all the way from Afghanistan. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I'm sure it's late in the day, and you've had a long day over there. How's everybody in the 114th Transportation Company doing, Captain?
Everyone's doing pretty well. Missions have been a little slow, a little bit different than the last time we deployed here, but for the most part, morale's high and everybody's getting along still. You know, we got to live together for the last 4 or 5 months.
And where are you based out of in Afghanistan now?
We are in Bagram Airfield.
The infamous Bagram Airfield. We've heard stories about that. First Sergeant,
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
First Sergeant, are your soldiers well taken care of there at Bagram? You got good quarters, good food?
Oh, yes. We have quarters we have are a little bit old, but everybody's in two-man rooms, so they get a little bit of privacy. We have about a half a dozen different places that we can eat on base, and I think the food's really good compared to eating out of a little plastic bag.
Well, we won't talk about MREs too much on the show today, then. I understand you have 147 soldiers, and 25 are female?
That's correct. Now, we've sent a few home due to some training injuries and illnesses and whatnot, but we're still going strong.
And Captain, can you tell us what your primary mission is on this deployment?
You know, typically we're a medium truck company. We have 60 PLSs back at the state. For this mission, we are strictly convoy escort. So we're escorting both nation trucks, pretty raggedy-looking semi-trailers from different forward operating bases around Afghanistan, and bringing materials back from those bases back to Bagram to get lifted out of here.
So you're actually participating in taking down some of the bases that we've built over the years?
Yeah, which is much different than the last time we were here during the surge, and we were helping all these bases get built up and staged up, troops fed, all the fun stuff. Now it's time to put the toys away and go home.
Put the toys away and go home. I'm sure that when you go out to haul the materials around, there's some security forces that go with you?
Nope. Typically we'll have a route clearance team somewhere clear the route during the day, and then we'll go down. We are the security element escorting the truck.
Okay, I understand. And when did you get to Afghanistan, and do you have any idea when you might be coming home?
We got first set boots on ground around 15 December, right before Christmas, and we're expecting to get home sometime end of August, early September.
And so far, everybody's in good shape other than some minor injuries, and sent a few folks home.
Yep. Everyone's healthy. We're using some of our extra time to do some physical fitness training and get ready so everybody can pass the physical fitness training when we get home.
First Sergeant, I would guess on a deployment like this, you're a pretty busy guy making sure everybody's on time and taken care of.
Oh, yeah. My days are pretty full.
And it's 7 days a week, isn't
it? Always something to do.
No days off in Afghanistan, are there?
No, there's not. If you're lucky, you get to sleep in one morning and come in a little bit late, but usually that entails staying late somewhere else. So
are you pretty much out on missions every day?
No. The majority of our days are spent training up for the missions that we have. We have, like the commander said, we have ample time to do physical training. There's always mandatory training that the Army asks us to do, and the rest of the day is spent in mission preparation, taking care of the vehicles that we have, and just getting gear and soldiers ready to go out on the road.
So just like at home, training, 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 first order of duty.
And that is correct.
We're speaking with Captain Ryan Kessler and First Sergeant Troy Deans with the Minnesota National Guard's 114th Transportation Company out of the Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got a few more questions for you. I'd like to find out how your missions are being accepted by the Afghanis. And so for our listeners, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to members of the Minnesota National Guard's 114th Transportation Company stationed now deployed in Afghanistan. And we've been speaking with Captain Ryan Kessler and First Sergeant Troy Deans. Captain, you've been over there for quite a while now. Can you tell us what all of you accomplished in Afghanistan on this deployment?
So we've only been on ground for about 2.5 months now. Pretty much accomplished any task they've thrown at us. One of the biggest ones they threw at us was retrograding about 900 pieces of equipment that were trying to get through the Pakistan border that ended up getting turned back. We knocked that out in about 2 weeks, which is much faster than they had anticipated. Another one of the key things that we did, our maintenance team, which is absolutely phenomenal, identified some key risk factors on the equipment that we were using. Now we've fallen in behind two different units that have used this equipment, and there's been multiple different companies using the same equipment, and we were the first ones to identify it out of the Army. It's just a remarkable thing that they found, and it went all the way up, all the way back to the contractors and whatnot, and it's been fixed and it's been repaired, and just amazing that my guys were the ones who found that.
Now, First Sergeant, how is this mission different from previous deployments to Afghanistan?
As Captain Kester kind of talked about before, on the 114th previous deployment, it was more of a sustainment mission. So we were pushing out equipment to make these FOBs bigger and more secure. And on this mission, we're doing the exact opposite. We have a small sustainment role, but the majority of what we're doing is bringing equipment back into Bagram so that it can be cleaned up and shipped back to the United States or made to determine on if they're going to sell it to Afghanistan in a partnership program. So a little bit different dynamic, same basic job, but now everything's coming back with us instead of going out with us.
And I think the last time, too, our convoys were, 3 days long. Our soldiers were sitting in the trucks for 72 hours or so, just watching the sun come up and go down, moving in maybe a mile in an hour. And now we're looking at, convoys running anywhere between 8 to 12 hours, kind of moving through some pretty heavy traffic and heavy terrain.
Gentlemen, I'm sure you've been in touch with today's technology with your families back here. Are you aware that we're having one of the toughest winters we've had in many, many years in Minnesota?
Yes, definitely. It's kind of a running joke that everybody finds out we're from Minnesota, and they're like, oh, I bet you're glad you're here. And we all look at them and go, well, we're still in Afghanistan. But, we've heard plenty of stories about the snow drifts and the cold, the extreme cold that you guys are having. And we've been blessed with pretty good weather over here. So a lot of family members have said that they wish that their spouse was home to help clean the driveway.
Yeah, and I think if we took a survey, about 70% of the company has had their pipes freeze back home, which doesn't sound good.
Well, we have had about 50 below 0 days this winter, and we're on the way to setting some records, I think. How's the weather, and how are the roads over there?
We get, it sticks around 20 degrees at night, and then during the day it heats up to about 50 or 60. So, you start the morning with a waffle shirt on or, maybe some sort of long underwear, but by the end of the, or by mid-afternoon, you shed that and you're running around wishing you just had a t-shirt on.
We're speaking with Captain Ryan Kester and First Sergeant Troy Deans from Minnesota National Guard's 114th Transportation Company, which is deployed to Afghanistan, on Minnesota Military Radio. Gentlemen, have you heard, I'm sure you've once again been in touch with your families back home. Have you heard how employers and community support have been there to help your families while you've been deployed?
Yeah, the employer support's been really well. I know the difficulties that employers face by losing a soldier or an employee for a year, but we really appreciate them holding the soldiers' jobs when they get back. It relieves a lot of the stress to returning home. We've got a few soldiers that this kind of is their main job, but the support we get from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and then the Army's new program, which is VOWS, not exactly sure what the acronym is on that one, but it's basically a program that helps soldiers build their resumes, make contact with future employers, and get them back into the job force.
So in case some of your soldiers don't have a job waiting when they come home, they have the opportunity to write up resumes and get a head start on finding one when they return?
Correct.
And once again, the Yellow Ribbon programs are out there to make sure that if your families do need help shoveling that snow, somebody can be called in to help with that.
Yeah, I definitely got to thank the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon group. The Eden Prairie Beyond the Yellow Ribbon sent us a banner and a bunch of stuff. There's been so much support over here. There's us and a few other companies out of Minnesota that are deployed. But God, it feels with the way they're showering us with, all sorts of good amenities, coffee, candy, you name it, we're getting it, and it's definitely appreciated. I know, like, the Gold Star Moms, I think, were making us blankets, and it's amazing the amount of support that we're getting over here, and we are definitely thankful for that.
It's got to make the deployment.
I think we receive probably anywhere from 10 to 15 care packages a day from different organizations that are designed to support troops while they're deployed. The Beyond the Yellow Ribbon groups have been awesome. But like Captain Kester said, we've received coffee, we've received quilts, we've received just box upon box of toiletries and snacks and food items that packed nice and neatly into a ruck that goes in a truck. And at one point, I think we received like 60 pounds of fudge. And that was a really big hit. And that's really what helps keep our morale high. And soldiers love getting mail, even if it's from complete strangers.
Captain Kester, sounds like you need to organize a few 5K runs.
I think the heat will melt most of that off when summer comes.
Captain, what's next for the 114th on this mission, on this tour?
Well, we've got a few months ahead of us, a lot of drawdown, a lot of turn-in, and getting soldiers prepared to go home. There's two sides of that. There's getting the families prepared for the soldier to return, and obviously getting the soldier prepared to go home. There's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and with some other organizations in Minnesota put on a family reintegration academy, which helps the families kind of understand what their soldier is going to be like. I think most of our families, 50% of this unit's deployed before, so most of the families know what to expect, but there's still that other 50% that we got to take care of.
First Sergeant, can you tell our listeners what kind of shape is the 114th in? Are your soldiers in pretty good shape?
I think we're in really good shape. Morale's high. We have a great mix of youth and experience. We have several soldiers that are on their second deployment. Some of them are even on their third or fourth deployment. And the job that they've done in explaining things to the new soldiers that we have that have never been deployed and helping them to stay focused on the mission and focused on what we're doing, keeping morale high, and filling in the time when they have it. We have gyms over here that they're using, so physical fitness levels are going up. With technology, everybody's been able to stay in close contact with their families. It's a little bit different than what it was in your era. We're able to communicate quite readily.
In Vietnam, all we had was the Red Cross, but in some ways that was a blessing because we didn't get messages every day and knew exactly what was going on back home.
Yeah.
Captain, it sounds like you're in command of a great company, and the First Sergeant and all the soldiers are doing good work. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I'd just like to thank the City of Chisholm for the great send-off ceremony that they provided for us, and definitely thank the families who are supporting us. We have a very strong company. It's been noted by most of the people that run into us over here in Afghanistan that we have very strong company, very close-knit. I'm very lucky, very fortunate to be able to run an organization that is this great.
And one last question, Captain. You said that you're expecting to come home sometime this fall.
Yeah, we should be looking at somewhere around August or September of this year.
Have you seen any difference in the way the Afghan people treat you on this deployment as opposed to the previous one, sir?
Personally, the last time I was in the northern region, and the people were pretty receptive to us. Here, we try and do our best to kind of stay out of their way. For instance, if we were trying to run a convoy through Minneapolis traffic during rush hour, people probably wouldn't take too kindly to us. So we try and run our convoys in, less busy times so that we're not impacting their lives. The people, as far as the people we work with, they stick to us. They like us. We haven't had any issues with them. Obviously, there's a select few that you hear about in the press that don't take to us. But for the most part, I would say 90% of the people we work with get along with us just fine.
So the people of Afghanistan, have they appreciated the mission and all the things that we've been doing the last few years?
I would say so.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement too.
You read in the press that all these tribal leaders and whatnot want us to stay. I think that's a pretty good representation of Afghanistan and what they want. Obviously, you hear the different political issues going on back and forth, but I would say from our standpoint and the people that we work with, the people would prefer us to stay.
Well, gentlemen, it sounds like you're doing a great job over there, and we wish you safe travels and get home soon, and please continue to watch out for all of our Minnesota National Guard soldiers, and good luck on your missions.
Will do. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
That was Captain Ryan Kester and First Sergeant Troy Deans from the Minnesota National Guard's 114th Transportation Company, directly from Afghanistan. In a moment, we'll learn about the upcoming push for veterans-friendly legislation over at the Capitol. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about Veterans Day on the Hill. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalitow.
This month, we reflect on the significant historical contributions of American women and honor their accomplishments, both past and present. In doing so, we also recognize the importance of our women's veterans and the sacrifices they have made throughout history. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. As of September 2013, there are over 29,000 women veterans in Minnesota. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve those women who have contributed so much to our nation. Join me in honoring and thanking our servicewomen, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the DAV of Minnesota is Department Commander Rob Hartley. Rob, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me back.
Rob, we just want to reintroduce you a little bit to our listeners. I understand that your military career was in the United States Navy.
That's right. In the early 80s, I was on the submarine out in Groton, Connecticut, the USS Tenosa fast attack submarine.
And Rob, after serving the Navy, I understand you went to Hamline University and Hamline University School of Law.
That's right. Initially, out of high school, I spent a year at River Falls and didn't do very well. So I had to go to the Navy and spent 6 years. And boy, you know, once you get out, you do real well in school. And so I was lucky enough to go to Hamline for both my undergrad and law school.
And you were motivated to get it done right this time.
Highly motivated. You just have to show up to class. I learned that.
It seems like I recall that too, Rob. How did you get to be department commander of DAV of Minnesota?
Well, I started off in the Disabled American Veterans at the chapter level. And as a young attorney, they quickly scooped me up into the leadership role. And so while I was commander of Chapter 1 in Minneapolis for several years, I then moved on to the department level. And I act as their attorney, and I've been the treasurer for a number of years. And so this year they asked if I would be the commander, and I said, sure, I'll do that.
So they found a volunteer some years ago, and you haven't let go yet.
That's right.
Well, it's good. We've learned a lot of things about DAV of Minnesota over the course of the last year, and you guys are doing a great job over there.
It is. It's a wonderful organization.
Commander, you also serve on an organization called the Commander's Task Force, and I understand you're the chair this year.
That's right, Tom. The Commander's Task Force is made up of various veteran service organizations, and I'm going to name them off because I think it's important for everyone to know who's a part of that. That's the American Ex-Prisoners of War, the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, the Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Vietnam Veterans of America.
That about takes all of them in, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. And so the elected commanders and the adjutants of all of those organizations form the Commander's Task Force. And we spoke earlier about some of the functions of that group. One of them is certainly developing a United Veterans legislative agenda and then actively advocating that before state and elected officials. But also the Commander's Task Force serves as a nonpartisan advisory group to the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. And so he'll have different issues that come up, and he'll want to bring in the Commander's Task Force to run ideas off of and to get some advice. And so we'll do that throughout the year.
So that'd be Commissioner Shalito that we just heard from.
That's right. That's right. And then also the Commander's Task Force works together so that the various veteran service organizations can join forces and then promote veterans organizations as a whole. So those are the primary functions of the Commander's Task Force.
And Commander, do you have some interaction with the governor as well?
We do. Certainly on the Veterans Day, during that period, he'll come and speak with us. But primarily our interaction is with the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs and the legislative folks that work for him.
So the importance or the might or heft of the Commander's Task Force comes from the combined membership of all of those veteran service organizations that you just described to us. And collectively, you get to go over to the legislature and start working on some veterans issues.
Well, that's right. And so we always refer to as that having hats. The various veteran service organizations have their respective hats. And so when there are hearings and other efforts that need to be made at the Capitol, where the Commander's Task Force can rally the troops, if you will, to have people over there and to push our veterans agenda.
We're speaking with the Department DAV of Minnesota Department Commander Rob Hartley on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, as we're talking today about legislation and the Commander's Task Force, and there's the Veterans Day on the Hill is coming up. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. It's March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and it's going to be at the Capitol. And it's from 10 o'clock and usually runs about an hour.
And that's an opportunity for veterans from all across the state that want to come over to the Capitol and sit down and talk to their legislators about veterans issues. They have an opportunity to do that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's an opportunity for that, but then just for the legislators and just the public in general to see the support and the camaraderie that veterans have. And so we all come together there at the Capitol and kind of start off our effort to promote veterans legislation.
So on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day starts at 10 o'clock over at the state capitol, and they'll have plenty of time to get done with that and go march in the St. Pat's Day parade at noon, won't they?
That's right. It typically takes about an hour, so there's plenty of time to walk across 94, and then you'll be able to get involved in the parade.
Rob, let's get into some of this legislation. What's the first thing that the Commander's Task Force is recommending?
Well, the Commander's Task Force supports the development of a process to certify veteran-owned small businesses so that they can compete for business and contracts at the state level without having to go through the federal certification process. That's a mouthful. But basically, the idea of creating a system of certifying veteran businesses that doesn't require going through the federal process, which is cumbersome and time-consuming.
Well, I think I told you, Rob, I went through last year the process of getting certified as service-disabled veterans-owned small business, and it was a very long, tedious, complicated process. So this particular bill is recommending a shorter process at the state of Minnesota level that still gives you the benefits of being certified as veteran-owned and gives you some ability to compete on various projects.
That's right. It's important, certainly, to have a verification process so that that veteran businesses are, in fact, veteran-owned businesses. But to streamline that so we can take advantage of the various construction projects, in particular the new Viking Stadium.
So the Commander's Task Force in this particular bill and several more that we're going to talk about after the break has been working with the governor, with the commissioner, and working on veterans issues, and you're recommending to the legislature that they consider passing these bills.
That's right.
And what would you have to say to the veterans out there that don't belong to a veteran service organization yet, Rob?
Well, you know what? There's all kinds of opportunities to volunteer. To join a veteran service organization doesn't mean that you necessarily get swept up in it like me and have and become a part of the leadership. That's one level of volunteerism, but there's all kinds of other levels that just from donating maybe one day a year on a special project that you might be interested in, or just donating funds to the organization, but to volunteer and to put yourself out there and support the veterans.
And add one more hat, one more name to the list of names that are pulling together to try to take care of veterans' issues in Minnesota.
That's right.
We're going to have to, Rob, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about several more legislative initiatives that the Commander's Task Force is working on for Veterans Day on the Hill, which is March 17th, starting at 10 o'clock over at the Capitol. We've been speaking with the DAV of Minnesota Department Commander Rob Hartley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking this segment and the last one with the DAV of Minnesota Department Commander, Rob Hartley, who is also the chairman of the Commander's Task Force. And we're talking about Veterans Day on the Hill, which is going to be on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, starting at 10 o'clock over at the Capitol. And we'd like to see a whole bunch of veterans over there to meet with the legislatures and to join you that day, don't we?
That's right. It should hopefully be a nice day, so there's no excuse to get out there and show your support for Minnesota veterans.
So, Commander, what other legislative initiatives is the CTF endorsing and talking about?
Well, the Commander's Task Force supports a change in the vehicle registration taxes for 100% service-connected veterans. Currently, that 100% service-connected veterans has to be taking advantage of federal benefits. And so we think that that law should be changed, simplify it, so that the state's 100% permanently disabled veterans qualify, not just those that are receiving those federal benefits.
So that's another good one to try to make that process a little easier for our 100% service-connected disabled veterans.
Well, right, and particularly, you know, because oftentimes these folks are operating vehicles that have different functions that are added to the vehicle to address their disabilities, and that adds to the cost. And so, this is certainly something that would help in reducing those added costs.
Especially equipment to help the disabled drive and get in and out of the vehicles. Absolutely, costs
That's
a lot
right.
of money. What's next?
Well, CTF also supports a military pension tax exemption. And so that's the idea that if you're a Minnesota resident receiving a federal pension, that in Minnesota, that is taxable. And Minnesota is one of the last states where such a tax, which military pension, would be taxable. And so we're asking that be changed so that those pensions aren't taxable.
So for our active duty military members or even Guard and Reserve that put in enough time to retire, they're all going to Florida and Texas and California. We want them to come home and help us shovel snow in Minnesota.
Well, that's right. And the statistics show that, in fact, the retirees, the military retirees, are not staying in Minnesota. And so, these are individuals that have got many years spending money in Minnesota ahead of them after they retire from the military. And so we want to keep those folks in Minnesota as long as we can.
And the economic impact for Minnesota would be very positive if we could get more of those to move home and live here and spend their pension here.
Absolutely.
What's the next one, Commander?
Well, the final one is supporting a veteran's homestead tax exemption for the spouse of a deceased veteran. Currently, the law requires that in order to get that tax exemption, that the veteran has to have received it prior to his death. And so what we're asking is that the spouse of the deceased veteran be able to get that without having, you know, the deceased spouse sign up for it before they passed away. Again, it's the idea that once the veteran passes away, there's a great deal of income that's lost because of that death. And so this is an opportunity for that spouse to, you know, kind of recoup, not necessarily recoup, but to not miss out on income that would be lost because of that death.
And, of course, if both spouses worked and one of them dies, then their Social Security collectively is going to be less than it was before. And this is just to try to help them make ends meet a little easier.
That's right.
Commander Hartley, once again, Veterans Day on the Hill. Can you tell us about it?
Well, again, it's going to be at the Capitol, March 17th, starts at 10 o'clock. We'll have everyone out there to show their support. And so certainly if you're a part of a veteran service organization, you know, wear your jacket and wear your hats to show where you're from and who you support. But even if you're not a part of that organization, show up and show your support for Minnesota veterans.
And lastly, for all of those veterans out there that don't belong to a veteran service organization?
Well, once again, you can go online and look up whether it's Disabled American Veterans or American Legion or any of the veteran service organizations. You can apply and become a member and again become. You can volunteer as much as you want. You can become incredibly involved, or you can just donate your time as you seem fit. But there's always opportunities to volunteer.
Commander Hartley, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was DAV Minnesota Department Commander Rob Hartley talking about Veterans Day on the Hill, which will be March 17th, starts at 10 o'clock over at the state capitol. Come on down, talk to your state legislators, and then you can go off and have some lunch and march in the St. Patty's Parade. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Sergeant Major, I understand that you recently held a career development seminar for your enlisted female soldiers. Can you tell me why you felt this was needed for the Minnesota National Guard?
Sure. As you know, Tom, diversifying our force is one of the Adjutant General's priorities. And, you know, whereas we're doing really quite well at our junior enlisted ranks, it's those mid-grade ranks and the senior ranks especially that are lagging. When it comes to females in our formations, we actually see very few at the most senior enlisted ranks. And now with the recent Women in Combat initiative and opportunities are continuing to open and expand for our female soldiers, we just wanted to ensure that they tap into the experience and the mentorship of those female soldiers who have made it into senior leadership within the organization.
Sergeant Major, why do you think there are so few females at the senior enlisted ranks currently in the Minnesota National Guard?
You know, Tom, I think there are many contributing factors. For example, most of the key development positions and assignments within the organization had previously been closed to females. Now that's changing with the repeal of the Ground Combat Exclusion Rule last year. Traditionally, few female soldiers have stayed in the organization long enough to reach those senior leadership positions as well. Many have chosen to get out to pursue their education or to raise a family or to begin a career. And there have been very few female mentors or role models within the organization to collaborate with regarding career development paths for our female soldiers.
So did the female NCO career development seminar help address these issues?
You know, we attempted to address the issues from multiple angles, actually. The four facilitators that we had were actually the four most senior females in the Minnesota Army National Guard. We also asked Brigadier General Loydalt to speak on his experiences because he mentors some of the organization's female officers. He addressed his approach to career development for these officers and talked about some of the trends that he sees as he assists in these efforts. We also had the State Command Chief Warrant Officer, Chief Panos, speak about warrant opportunities for our female soldiers, which can really be a great option for some of them. We were also able to hear from a senior female warrant officer, Chief Clunas, on what went into her decision to move from an enlisted soldier to a warrant officer. The focus of our seminar was on those issues that tend to inform career decisions for females in any organization. We actually used a jumping-off point, the TED Talk by Sheryl Sandberg, which was called Why We Have Too Few Women Leaders. So some of the issues that we discussed were fears and insecurities and likability and how they affect career ambition and decisions. We talked about the definition of success and feeling confident and overcoming stereotypes and roadblocks, and then withstanding criticism and balancing that work, home life, and mentorship. In the end, our female soldiers got a chance to discuss the key development positions within the organization and the new leadership development strategy recently distributed by the Sergeant Major of the Army. They put all of that to good use in designing their own personal career maps with the help of facilitators at the seminar.
So, Sergeant Major, what do you hope the outcome of the seminar is?
You know, ultimately, Tom, I hope that the female soldiers within the organization can learn to collaborate more, obtain the mentorship that they need to be successful, and then be able to reach whatever professional goals they set for themselves. Hopefully, the tools provided at the seminar, coupled with the expanding opportunities within the organization for females, will bear fruit in that we see more and more female soldiers not only staying longer in the organization, but being successful in senior leadership positions as well.
Sergeant Major, I hope that seminar pays off for you, and I certainly hope that we start losing some of that snow up at Camp Ripley.
I do too, Tom.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Captain Ryan Kester, First Sergeant Troy Deans from Afghanistan, Rob Hartley from the Commander's Task Force, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Vikings join us to talk about their work supporting our troops by becoming Yellow Ribbon Companies. That's coming up next weekend on the station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.